We were speaking over the last number of days about the continuing fallout from the horrific sheep attack which was carried out on the lands of Patrick McCarthy in Sneem and Glaisk Mountain. He lost more than 70 sheep to horrific dog attacks. There's been calls for bigger fines on owners. We were speaking to John Joe Fitzgerald yesterday, who called for the government departments to do much more in relation to the control of dogs and to help pay for the disposal of the carcasses of the ewes and lambs that Mr. McCarthy has lost. Lots of you getting in touch on a number of different issues about the control of dogs in your own lives. Yesterday, issues with the National Park, issues with other areas. And we contacted Kerry County Council and we spoke to the county vet in relation to this, Paddy Fenton. He's the county veterinary officer, on what the council are doing, what dog wardens can do, the issues around the number of dogs we have in the county, the licensing system, and a whole lot more. I first asked him for his reaction to the situation and asked him, is this a situation, dog attacks and sheep, that's getting any better or getting any worse?
Yeah, it's a huge issue. It's a huge issue for everyone in the country in terms of dog control at the moment, but particularly rural people, if dogs are not kept under effectual control. So the responsibility lies with the dog owner to be aware of where their dog is, to make sure their dogs are not allowed to roam freely and certainly not allowed to gather in packs, because it's when dogs gather usually in packs that they become most dangerous.
Is it, what happens with that? Is it a type of behaviour that your domestic pet, you think they're fine, they're never involved in something like that, they're not aggressive, but something can happen if they get together in larger groups?
I think they just revert back to their previous behaviours and where they originated from, where they were, whether it be wolves or wild dogs, and how they evolved down through the years. That it just, that pack mentality and that pack behaviour is expressed once they get back into the pack and they have a leader and leader's followers, and it applies to all breeds of dogs. In our experience, the biggest offenders are collies and collie crosses, or gun dogs or gun dog crosses, because of the fact that they're highly intelligent and they require an awful lot of stimulation. They're working dogs, so they require an awful lot of exercise and stimulation. So if they become bored and frustrated, they go away and they seek to amuse themselves.
And that can be part of the problem.
Attacking livestock is a big issue.
Yeah, yeah. Is it on the rise, do you think? Or is this an issue that just crops up every year?
You know, some years are worse than others, but it's consistently high. I remember years ago we used to always have ads on TV, quite graphic ads on TV warning people in the springtime. It becomes topical in the springtime, I suppose, because ewes are lambing and they're more vulnerable and they're heavy in lamb and they can't run to avoid the attack. But it's a perennial problem. I don't think it's getting any worse.
But it's always been there. Yeah, it's always exactly, been there and always a problem. From that, maybe do we need more, and there's been calls from different farming groups, more education, more awareness?
Definitely. I think there's no end to the amount of education you can provide to people. I think there needs to be a huge emphasis placed on spaying and unnecessary breeding of collies. And collies particularly, because we find in the dog pound that there's a very poor demand for collies. The country is awash with collies. We'll say sheepdogs that aren't good enough to become working dogs. We find them very difficult to rehome, along with all big dogs. You know, there's a huge demand for small dogs amongst the public, and we really have no issue at all rehoming them. But when it comes to collies or collie crosses, they're a challenge. They're a fantastic pet to have. I have one myself, but they demand huge amount of work. They demand to be challenged. They demand intellectual stimulation. And not all people have the time, knowledge, or energy to provide that for their dogs.
So that's why people steer clear of them for the family pet more often than not. And is that part of the issue then, Paddy, when it comes to whatever breed you have, that some people get a dog and they're not aware? They don't know what to do. They don't know how much work is involved before they enter into it. And therein lies a big part of the problem.
I think you've summed up very, very succinctly there. Big dogs, especially, and big dogs of working breeds, be they sheep dogs or stock dogs or hunting dogs, they require a lot of energy, a lot of stimulation, a lot of walking. And if that isn't provided to them and they're neglected at home while people are at work all day, or left out at night, they're potentially very, very dangerous.
You mentioned earlier on, Paddy, about effectual control of your dog. What does that look like? Like, how can you... Do you need to keep your dog in at night, every night? Does it depend whether an indoor dog or an outdoor dog? And then this contentious area of when you're walking a dog, the control and the lead.
Effectual control is a term which is used in the Control of Dogs Act 1986. And basically, our interpretation of it is that the dog is responsive to a command, whether be it on a lead, if it's a poodle or something like that, which isn't, you know, one of the smaller dogs, sometimes they're not as responsive. They need to be kept on a lead. That's effectual control. Whereas a farmer can work his sheepdog on the hill from a kilometre away or 2 kilometres away with a whistle. So when it's 2 kilometres away, it's still under effectual control. It's a breed, it's a control thing, it's a training thing. And from our perspective, our kind of guidelines that we apply with the dog wardens is if it's responsive to commands, it's under effectual control.
Okay. Should dogs be kept in at night?
Definitely. Maybe not in the house, but definitely in a contained environment.
And that's even, let's say, in a suburban area, if you can get the dog used to it, or some sort of contained area that they're not roaming the streets and you don't know what's happening with them at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's just really irresponsible. And you know, under Section 21 of the Control of Dogs Act as well, if your dog does damage, and a dog is capable of doing thousands of euros worth of damage, you are then responsible for any damage it does. So that would far exceed the potential fines that any court would impose on you. Would be the potential reparation that you'd have to make to the farmer.
Yeah, and that would be the case. In terms of enforcement then, Paddy, it's not possible for dog wardens to be everywhere and see everything. There's been calls for some sort of a DNA register to be set up. I don't know even if that is legally possible or not, but what's your response to, I suppose, the people who feel that there should be more enforcement around these areas, or more? Is it a question of more resources?
I think in Kerry we've a fairly good record on dog control. The Gardaí are all authorised under the Control of Dogs Act, and we have our own dog wardens working on the ground as well. But it's a big county, and you can't anticipate what's going to happen. So really, it's educating people. Avoid unnecessary breeding of dogs. Educating people to control their dogs. Avoid unnecessary breeding of dogs, and ensuring that all dogs are microchipped. There's been a report recently published by the Working Group on the Control of Dogs, which is a working group comprising of local officers of local authority, Department of Agriculture, Gardaí, and various charities. And some of their recommendations, I'd imagine, will be implemented in the near future. And one of the huge things they have recommended is that the dog license and the microchip be linked in a centralised database. So when you buy your dog license, the microchip number that is on, that you have on the, from the microchip implanted in your dog, is associated in a paper trail with the dog license. So if a dog is captured wherever, be it stray or attacking livestock, that we can trace back to the owners.
Yeah.
At the moment, we frequently get stray dogs, and while they are microchipped, they frequently aren't registered to the owners. So they've gone to the trouble of microchipping them, but they've never completed the process of registering that microchip with the microchip
with
body.
The authority. Yeah, that seems like a big kind of a fall down or a falling between the stools in relation to that. If that does happen, Paddy, do you think that will improve, or is there a need to improve the licensing system, that the number of dogs in the country in proportion to the number of dogs that are actually licensed in the country?
I think in Kerry we have a very good record on licensing, but you know, licensing, just because your dog is licensed doesn't mean it's not going to attack sheep or be stray. It's an indicator perhaps that someone is conscientious enough to buy a license, but a licensed dog can do an equal amount of damage as an unlicensed dog, or as a dog that isn't microchipped.
Yeah.
I think education is a huge issue, and I think part of that working group as well have made recommendations that that there are subsidies made available through the animal welfare charities to ensure that as many dogs as possible are spayed and we reduce uncontrolled breeding.
The control of the population is the key thing here. Have we too many dogs in the country?
I don't know. I think there was a huge boom in the number of dogs people had during the pandemic, and in recent years we've had an awful lot of, since the pandemic has eased or been we've struggled through it, we've had a huge number of bigger dogs surrender to the pound.
Yeah, as people have realised that they don't have the time or should never have really got them in the first place.
Exactly. Mm.
Paddy, from there, finally, it is, look, that recommendation would be a positive if it was followed through on. We have farming organisations calling for bans of dogs off land. Do you think that will spur maybe the politicians to take more of a look and make changes along these lines to try and improve this area or reduce the numbers of these sort of attacks?
I think the report from the working group on the control of dogs, which was only published last week, I think that was a huge step forward. I think there's a willingness on the behalf of our politicians to, I think they have the IFA and the farming organisations have the ear of the politicians, and I think they will go the extra mile. But people have to take responsibility. You can legislate all you want, but if people don't take responsibility...
It comes down to personal behaviour. If you have a dog, you need to control it. You need to make sure it doesn't foul. You need to make sure it's under your control. It's not out at night doing all these things.
Yeah, I don't think you can blame the authorities if you are not controlling your dog.